Welcome to WP Coffee Talk with your podcast barista, Michelle Frechette. Special thanks to our amazing sponsors, Sentry Hosting, Expander Digital, GoWP, and WP Explorer. WP Coffee Talk is a proud supporter of Big Orange Heart, whose mission is to support and promote positive well-being and mental health within remote working communities. Please consider a donation to Big Orange Heart to continue to support this great mission. Welcome to WP Coffee Talk, where I get to speak with people in the WordPress community all over the world. Right now, I'm about to introduce you to Megan Rose from Ohio, and later today, I get to talk to somebody who's in India. So it's an amazing journey that I get to be on to talk to people who are literally all over the world. And this morning's guest is just somebody that I think is just the cat's pajamas. We've been talking about cats before we got on here, so I'll use that phrase. But this morning I'm introducing you to Megan Rose, and she is the technology manager for KHM Travel Group. And I think sometimes people think that the people that are going to come on my show are, you know, builders and designers and freelancers or work for the big WordPress agencies. And you're in a travel group, which is so super cool. And you're also a huge part of the WordPress community, not only in your part of the world, but globally as well. So welcome, Megan. It's so good to have you here.
Thanks. I'm really excited. I've been good. Just like every single day that I got accepted, I was like waking up excited every morning.
Oh, that's awesome. I've been waking up excited to talk to you too. And we get to chat like on Slack and stuff like that, but it's so different when we actually get to talk cyber face-to-face. I don't know. I mean, it's still face-to-face to me because I get to see you.
It counts for something.
Right. Exactly. Especially during COVID and all this other craziness that 2020 has brought us. But yeah, I was looking online this morning and like, you know, people are posting things like, you know, what else could 2020 bring? And I remembered that scene from Jason and the Argonauts where the Harry Houston, like the skeletons come up out of the ground and start attacking. And I was like, yep, that's going to be October. Pretty sure that's what's coming next. It's not going to be swarms of locusts. It's going to be like the dead rise up and just slaughter us all. I don't know. There's your happy thought for the morning. Anyway,
I'm ready for less predictable things to be happening, so I'm cool with it.
Yeah, seriously, right? It's like, well, they can't really kind of break into my house. I don't know, you know? It's like Dawn of the Dead or something. I don't know. Anyway, tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do.
Okay, so like Michelle said, I am the tech manager at KHM Travel Group. So the company, it is like, well, a little different than what a lot of the other like active people in the community are doing, because, you know, a lot are working at hosts or working at agencies. So just for like a little bit of background on what the company is, they're a host travel agency. So all of our travel agents are independent contractors, and they just use their own like business license, and they use their own branding, and they really just use us for training and education about everything that's going on in travel, especially right now, because there's a lot of supplier stuff happening, like, you know, with Princess and Carnival, the cruise lines especially. So right now we're kind of a liaison for them with the suppliers, and we have those direct relationships to get them higher commissions or to like basically talk to suppliers on their behalf, trying to track down commissions or inform them about cancellation policies and things like that. So right now, a lot of them are relying on us for that type of information because it's so mm-hmm. crazy this year.
For sure.
So communication this year is like much more frequent than like any other time. So it's a really interesting time to be like working in the travel industry, especially like in tech in the travel industry. Is that's always kind of been weird because they're so mm-hmm. so different, and travel's like really behind in terms of tech. So that's been my experience with being like within the travel industry, and the position is kind of a combination of managing IT professionals and also like web professionals, so developers. We have a user experience person. So yeah, that's kind of what I do, like my day job. And then, I mean, as you know, I'm active in the community through organizing WordCamps and hopefully gonna apply to be a deputy and things like that later down the road when things like calm down a little.
For sure. That's awesome. I think about travel a lot. I think we're all thinking about travel a lot lately because so many of us can't travel right now because of COVID and everything else. I got an email this week. I belong to a vacation club in Punta Cana in the Dominican Republic. And I got an email this week saying they're back open for business. And I was like, see you next year. I'm not coming anywhere between now and the end of the year. Especially, oh, look, we're open for business in time for hurricane season. So maybe I'll wait.
It's a lot of like watching the news and it's just, it's interesting to like understand like from executive teams like standpoint and where they're at. And you know, we have a group that meets, it's like a, all of the travel hosts kind of like congregate and like meet for a symposium. We did it online and we just had day one the other day. And it's just really interesting to see how everyone's perspective is like across the whole travel industry, because host agencies will likely be key in travel coming back because we have all these agents. I mean, you know, thousands and thousands of agents. Our group alone is 4,000 agents. So when people are going to want to start booking again, they're going to want to do it with someone they trust. So that's kind of where we see ourselves at the end of this, but it's just a matter of getting there.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we're going to dig deeper into what you do, both in the community and in travel in a little bit, but first I want to see your mug. So show me your mug.
I'm really excited.
I can't wait to see it.
I thought about my mug selection every day.
And if you're listening and not watching, she has a mug that says, calm the hell down.
With like a really panicked looking cup with a
with the tea bag coming out of it. Oh my goodness, that's awesome. I love it. I don't have anything as humorous today to share, but I do have my Sentry hosting mug. So it's managed hosting and maintenance. And I think most people know that I work for GiveWP, and that is my full-time day job. But I also do all of the marketing. I got a new title this week. I am the head of marketing for Sentry Hosting as well. So so it's always a pleasure to be able to show off, you know, the different places that I work and the different work that I get to do. And I actually, I don't have one on my desk. I actually had a mug made for Coffee Talk as well. So sometimes I'll even use my own mug on the show. So it's a lot of fun. Yeah, it's just a fun thing. And I cheated. I didn't make my own coffee this morning. I got coffee from McDonald's and poured it in my mug when I got here. Are you drinking coffee out of a tea mug? I mean, you rebel.
Yes,
you.
I am.
I love it. You can be a rebel if you want to. I love it.
Tell us I like tea too, though. Tea is good.
I do too.
But yeah, it's coffee in the mornings. Tea is like, I'm feeling sick and I want to like beat this before it gets worse. Like that's when I'm drinking tea.
Or if I just want to sit down and read, like tea just feels more like a chillax and read a book kind of beverage than coffee does, unless it's a thriller, and then it has to be coffee.
Yeah, because you're getting all like jittery while you're reading.
Exactly. It's like I drink tea when I read.
You're like sweating. Oh my gosh, what's gonna happen next?
It's coffee for a Dan Brown book, but it's tea for the classics. You know what I'm saying? Like Pride and Prejudice, you couldn't drink coffee with Pride and Prejudice, but like when like Dan Brown has you like in the catacombs under Paris and you're wondering if Robert Langdon is going to survive. Man, that's a coffee book right there.
We need to do a podcast where we do pairings of drinks with books.
You know, I think we could, and we could even start, we could just, why don't we just start a Twitter account where we do that and tell people what they should be reading and drinking at the same time. All right, we'll talk about that after the show because that can actually be a lot of fun. What are you drinking with your book? Twitter.com/ what are you drinking with your book? Too many characters, we'll figure it out. Okay, anyway.
A little long, but
yeah. Exactly. All right, tell us how you got started in WordPress. I got to get to the questions eventually, you know.
Okay. Yeah. I'm all day. So how I got started in WordPress, let's see. It probably would have been 2011 or 2012-ish. I actually learned WordPress in college, which I know a lot of people joke about, what, you didn't learn it in college?
Like, you did.
It's funny because I run into that so much, and I'm just like, I just like kind of stay quiet. But yeah, that's been amusing to like get that constantly at WordCamps and stuff. Because most people are self-taught, but
right.
Yeah. We learned like really basic stuff, and we didn't get like a background in PHP or anything because I wasn't in like a CS major. Mm-hmm. But basically we learned custom themes, child themes. We learned about plugins. We didn't like write our own plugins or anything. Mm-hmm. We were still doing like one click installs. We weren't like custom installing or anything like that. Weren't working locally, but we learned like, you know, how to buy domain names and how to get your hosting set up and what to do when things go wrong and things like that. So that was kind of my intro. And then right after college, I actually started at KHM. So been there for 6 years now.
Very cool. So in college, when you had to learn WordPress, I didn't even ask you this before, but I know that your teacher said you have to build a WordPress website because there had to be something they were judging you on, right? What was your mm-hmm. site about? What was that site about? Because I bet it was good.
Whoa. So I'm trying to remember, like, it's crazy, like, how much of a blur it was, but for whatever reason, I don't know, like, college is all just, like, muddy water in my brain at this point. Especially, like, so much has happened in the last couple of years. But I know one of them, so one of them would have been, like, a portfolio site. Mm-hmm. And then, a coffee shop. We had to select a business in our little college town, Bowling Green. And I selected a place, I don't even think it was in Bowling Green, to be honest. I think it was like Vermilion or something, but I think it was called Huggies Coffee Shop or something like that. I've never actually been there. I just selected it because they had a bad site.
Well, that's a good reason.
Just like, we had to like reverse engineer it or something, but mm-hmm. within WordPress. So yeah, we did that. And then there was another really funny one that we had to do. He wanted us to make a band website. And so this was like my introduction to like random name generators too, because he was like, oh, just go Google for like band name generator. And like, oh, that opened up my world because now I use like name generators for so many things.
Yeah.
But that was like probably my first time doing it. And my world opened up after that. Now I can use name generators for like Dungeons and Dragons and stuff. It's just, yeah.
Well, I was going to be disappointed that you didn't say that your first site was like cat memes, but I'm going to let it slide since it was like a coffee shop. So, you know, between the two.
My first site I worked on was my Neopets site, so.
Oh, well, there you go. That's a little after my time, but before my daughter's, so, you know, it's all good. It's all good. How funny. When you look at websites, and I know that you do, whether it's your own sites in the past or, you know, we'll leave Neopets out of it, but in general, websites, what do you think is something that we as developers, designers, and web builders don't focus enough attention on that would make those sites better for the end user?
Security. Mm. So, yeah, just as, like, an example, there's a really, really cool organization called GiveCamp, and, I mean, you know, because you saw, I believe you were there when they spoke at mm-hmm. WordCamp Kent, but I remember last year at GiveCamp, and it's really sad because this year obviously isn't happening, so I'm pretty bummed about that. But basically the organization, they get a bunch of volunteers together. It's very similar in organization and planning as WordCamps are. They get, you know, 200 volunteers together and they make websites for nonprofits in the area that have been vetted. And last year, we heard some news that the previous year, someone's site had been hacked. So I made sure, like, last year, the organization I was working with, I made sure to, like, kind of lay some, like, groundwork on security and talk to them about, like, passwords and, like, don't store them in this Excel sheet after this weekend and things like that, because
yeah.
It's overlooked on like multiple levels. So it's like the users, it's overlooked, the admins, it's overlooked, and you know, the actual like structure of the site.
Yeah. It's almost like everybody thinks somebody else is gonna take care of it, and it ends up yeah. not getting taken care of.
Well, they think
it's
just like, oh, they just think like it's WordPress, it's fine. Everyone uses WordPress, so they just think out of the box it has these yeah. features, but there's a whole page on WordPress.org that's dedicated to how to take WordPress from out of the box, vanilla WordPress, to actual secure WordPress. Mm-hmm. So like that should be telling that, oh yeah, it's not, you just install WordPress with your one click install and like yeah. you're done. There's extra yeah. steps that people don't even know are out there.
Mm-hmm. So it's funny, I was interviewing somebody yesterday for Coffee Talk, which will be out soon, of course. And he works for Sucuri. And when I asked him this question, he said accessibility.
Yeah, he doesn't care if they work out there because they're coming in.
I 100% expected him to say security. He's like, accessibility. I'm like, well, he has a point. I mean, it is also another.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but a lot of people yeah. say accessibility. So it was nice to hear you say something different. So that's awesome. And I love that we all focus on different things, which is awesome too. So what is something that you've learned in WordPress that you wish you'd known earlier in your journey that would have made life a little bit easier?
So it's hard to not just say the same thing.
That's okay. Did you get hacked?
But it is totally true. Security measures. I assume you're familiar with Simple Fields. It's a plugin kind of like was more commonly used before people started using ACF, Advanced Custom Fields. But mm-hmm. yeah, we had an incident with, we were still using Simple Fields. And I would say like something I wish I would have learned earlier, not necessarily just security, just like the security of the plugins I'm installing, but the idea of having like a regular schedule to look at the last updated date. Mm-hmm. Because just because there's a vulnerability doesn't mean a company is going to like email you and be like, hey, we have a vulnerability, here's your alternative. Like, they're not just going to hand it to you, especially if it's a plugin that hasn't been updated. And I think at the time it hadn't been updated in years, and we still had it on a bunch of our sites. So yeah. there was a malicious redirect that was injected into the post type connector, and tracking it down was like really difficult because and then it hits one site and then it hits another and we're like, oh, well, what do they have in common? Oh, Simple Fields. So we yep. use ACF now. And we were like gradually making the transition, but after that we decided to have a regular schedule for the different sites to like go look at the plugins and just make sure they've been updated recently. Mm-hmm. Because it's one thing to just update the ones that have updates, but to go back and say, oh, it's been 9 months on that one, maybe I should go look at the repo and see if they're still active. Because yeah, maybe nothing changed, but there's just that like yeah. off chance that you're gonna go to the GitHub repo and you're gonna see this is no longer being supported and mm-hmm. be like, oh, now I can look for a replacement before something goes wrong, and then I look for a replacement.
Right. Yeah. It's but security in advance versus trying to get all the horses back in yeah. the barn after the gates are left open, so to speak. Definitely. No, those definitely good lessons and things to pass on to other people listening to the show too. I think this question I ask not only for our own benefit because it's like, oh, I wish I'd known, but really it educates other people listening to the show and hopefully they listen to this and they think, ooh, I should think about that. I should do something about that too.
Yeah, they're going to find a whole bunch of plugins that haven't been updated in 5 years. They're going to be like, oh, this is a ticking time bomb.
Yeah, because people hate when they log into their sites and they see all these updates that have to be done. So, like, no updates yeah. feels secure, but it really is the opposite.
No updates is scary.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So people say sometimes about Give, like, why do you guys have updates all the time? Like, well, we're giving you more features. We're being compatible with WordPress, and we're making things more secure all the time. You should be happy that there's
compatible
updates.
With the latest PHP version.
Absolutely, with so many things, you know, so many things, and also page builders and all of that. So, got to keep on top of it all for sure. No, I know you've been to a bunch of WordCamps. I've been to a bunch of WordCamps. You are the organizer for WordCamps. I organize WordCamps, so we have a lot in common along that way. And we're both WordCamp US organizers, of course. What is something, a moment or an incident, or I'm saying it really weirdly, like that I usually do. Let me just actually read it because it's going to come across better. What are some of your favorite WordCamp or meetup experiences? Maybe something that was a pivotal or inspiring moment for you.
So I've like pondered on this one already. One of my favorite, like, I guess atmospheres is that, like, that feeling of when you are a lead organizer and day of, just like that day of feeling. It's like such a crazy feeling, and I know you can relate to it. You're just like,
absolutely.
You feel just so energized, and you, like, I mean, I like barely sleep, especially like a 2-day event. It's especially like intense. And it's like intense in a good way. And giving like opening remarks and things like that is nerve wracking. But like the feeling that you get right after is just so, such a good feeling to me. Especially when things are kind of like rolling and you're like taking that first step back after it started.
Yeah.
So that's like my general like favorite feeling, which is a little sad for the organizers that did online this year. Kent, it was his first time leading and it was online. So he didn't exactly get that same experience that I did. Mm-hmm. So I feel a little badly for those people. But some of the other memories that are really cool for me are we used to do bowling for WordCamp Kent, which was Northeast Ohio before. And I remember just bowling with like all of the sponsors and some of the speakers and stuff. And that was just like super fun. I like doing the active like after parties like that. Mm-hmm. We did a really fun one last year. We had the pierogi truck and we did like cornhole and stuff like that. So I love a good after party that's like interactive. Mm-hmm. The US one that was in Nashville, the Science Center, was really cool. Mm-hmm. That was super fun. So more recently, if I want to think about like in this weird time that we're in, I really, really liked volunteering at WordCamp Santa Clarita. Mm-hmm. That was like very, very fun. And it was really like helpful to get some context to what Kent might look like. And I got to meet Joe, and that was really cool too, because he's a great guy.
He really is. He's amazing. His story just came out on Hero Press this week too. So if you haven't had a chance to read it, check out Hero Press for Joe Simpson Jr. Yeah, for sure. When you talk about that feeling of like the morning of or even the night before WordCamp, like for people who haven't been organizers, this is how I can equate it. It's like, remember when you were a kid and you knew that Santa Claus was coming and you couldn't hardly sleep the night before and you wanted to keep looking, but there's nothing happening yet, of course, because, you know, Santa didn't come yet and or mom and dad didn't put the present, whatever. And the next morning you get up and that feeling of glee that it's all like starting to happen. And then taking a step further to like, okay, we're looking at almost 29 years ago now when I was about to have my daughter and I was like, and I was being induced, right? So I know I'm going to the hospital. I know I'm going to hold this baby in my arms the next day. And that feeling of excitement, it's very similar to that. I mean, it's different at the end result's way different, of course, but it's similar to that. That feeling of expectation and knowing that something really big is about to happen. Oh no, we have another cat now. This is Stella. So we're up at the office.
She's waiting for a pet.
My cats are here. Yeah, she likes to be petted. So tell us. Yeah, if you're only listening, then you're missing the cat show. I've got 3 cats in the office this week while my apartment is being fumigated, and they like to be on camera, apparently. Hi, Stella. And then there's the cat butt. Don't look. Don't show your butt. Anyway. Anyway, so tell us a little bit more about your experiences with WordPress. So whether you want to talk about KHM, whether you want to talk about, organizing, I think one of the most fun things to do as an organizer is to get the speaker applications in and start reading who's interested in talking and vetting those kinds of things. You also have a lot of experience with sponsors. So, the floor is yours. Talk about whatever you'd like.
Okay. Oh, man, that leaves it so open that I just have nothing. No. I guess I'll talk a little bit about sponsorship, because I think it's a little misunderstood from the attendee standpoint, and maybe misrepresented or not as positively represented as it could be. And I think you've seen the same, but there are some rinse and repeat aspects to WordCamps up until 2020.
Right.
Now there's kind of no rinse and repeat. There was a little bit with the online ones we had this year. Obviously Denver, Kent, and Santa Clarita and San Antonio all had some little similar veins moving from one to the next chronologically. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that had to do with the increase in collaborating across the camps, which I didn't really see until this year. So it's kind of that silver lining that I think we're getting a little better at sharing information across camps. But sponsorships can kind of be reframed in our mind, and now would probably be the time to reframe it. So I had a conversation with Bree McDeedy, and she had the perfect way of describing what the value of a sponsor at an event is to the attendee directly, which is, do you have a Bluehost site? Because if you do and you have questions, you literally have a representative right here who can help you or coach you, or maybe there's a feature we're wanting to see that they don't have, or you want support done a little differently. It's the perfect opportunity to have actual FaceTime, even if it's the online format. Mm-hmm. and get your questions answered. So as opposed to it being sales for them, it can be seen flipped around where it's people who are already clients of theirs. Because a lot of the sponsors are big, the big companies. So, mm-hmm. I just really liked that way of looking at it differently. And obviously with it being online, sponsors are missing out on the fact that they aren't just standing in a hallway and people are walking past them, and they're able to just be hey, how are you enjoying the session so far? And start a conversation, because the attendee at the current state of online WordCamps, the attendee has to make a conscious choice to go into that booth, which is just way more likely to happen if they are not already invested with that company, whether it's a personal friendship or they have the product already. So mm-hmm. just totally turned sponsorship on its head and has made me want to just get as much information from the sponsors that are doing the online ones and try to make sure we're falling in line with something that's going to be beneficial to them and the attendees in a way that might be a little different than what we've done before.
Mm-hmm. I think sponsors look at opportunities like that as a sales opportunity, and they certainly are, right? So they get to educate the public that they exist because you're walking by their booth or you're seeing it online, virtual booth, whichever. Oh, and you're seeing their listings on websites and things like that. But I think sometimes that the sponsors don't even think about the fact that connecting with their current customers is a prime opportunity to gather that feedback and have those conversations. So it works both ways. And I think that that's a really good take on what sponsorship does. So yeah, thanks for that for sure. What is your one piece of advice to sponsors? So whether it's what do you think is the best swag, or how do you think they should connect, or, one or two pieces of advice to sponsors in general?
So my one piece is general and definitely not at any particular group, but stick to your word. It's my one. If you're getting emails, every single week from a sponsor, lead, probably need to reply. It's nice when they use the generic email because having done sponsorships for a few years now, it's really frustrating when you have someone's personal email, but you don't personally know them. And so you're like, do they still work there? Because I have emailed them 6 times and not gotten back. So better ways, like I always question people's offboarding at their companies. I'm like, well, if so-and-so isn't there anymore, would someone else be opening their emails? Like, do they have forwarding set up? And it puts a lot of doubt in the sponsor's mind, the sponsor lead's mind. So like first piece of advice is just like blanket advice for anyone, especially like people that are just considering sponsoring. Mm-hmm. And along with that communication, it's important to like be direct. I always like to be direct with them, especially this year with Kent. I just told them like, hey, everything's going to be different. And I'm sorry, but this is like, these are what the levels were. Cause we had defined our levels before we knew we were pivoting to online. So right. When we did, we had to find stuff that was kind of comparable. So we're kind of recreating the in-person with online, mm-hmm. which is not the best way to do online events. And we know that, but when you have like, you know, 3 months or however long we had, right. It just made sense. So I try to be direct with them. I offered refunds to everyone, and offered even like partial refunds for anyone that wanted to like move down a level after we made the changes.
Sure.
And I kind of expect the same communication back. I don't think anyone appreciates that feeling of being like sprung along. So
right.
Try to not do that to sponsors, and it just is a two-way street. Mm-hmm. But aside from that, swag is kind of one of those things that after you've been to like 2 WordCamps, you're like, okay, I don't know about this anymore. Like, it's just a little wasteful.
There have been some good ones in the last couple of years where, number one, I use it on a regular basis. First of all, I'm not a big coffee mug person to have to carry them in my suitcase. But if you're going to ship it to me afterwards, 100%. So, like, I didn't collect a lot of
stuff. Water bottles.
Yeah. Like, I'll use coffee cups and stuff on my show, right? So, if they want to send me a coffee cup, that's great. But I can't go home with 12 coffee cups in my suitcase. They're all going to break and it's not going to be a good experience. So some of them actually did send them to me afterwards, which was super nice. But I also have a WordPress, you know, podcast about coffee. So that's, you know, a good investment on their part. But I will tell you, I actually have it right here. This was my 100% favorite swag item from last year's WordCamp US. And it's the Jetpack silverware, because I actually carry this with me.
Oh,
I have 2 of them because I bought one. I picked up another one for a coworker who didn't really care to have it. And so it's just this 3 and 4 in 1 kind of like all the silverware, the can opener, everything.
Oh, and, yeah. I love that for sure.
I use this every week at work because I don't want to have to keep using plastic silverware and destroy the environment. So, and it's in this nice little neoprene case. So I use that all the time.
A lot. Those straws too. I got metal straws. I don't even remember mm-hmm. who it was from, but metal straws, that was a good one.
Give WP.
I will say the most useless. I want to know if you remember this one. The most useless one, and I'm not going to mention the company, but the do you remember the Oreo dunker?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Dude, it was.
But I'll tell you what. So I took that Oreo dunker home. I was trying to figure out what it was. Like, I literally.
Everyone picked it up, and they're like, this is a back scratcher.
the shortest back scratcher you've ever seen.
Right.
I actually don't even remember the name of the company right now, which is probably a good thing. But by the time I picked it up, I think it was at WordCamp San Diego 2 years ago. And I was like, I don't know what this thing is. The company was gone. And I still didn't know what this thing was, but I was like, well, I'll put it in my bag and I'll figure it out later. I literally like took a picture of it, uploaded it to Google Images to see if I could figure out what the heck it was. Cause I didn't even know how to describe it to search.
I know, it didn't have,
nobody else knew what it was.
It only had the company name on it. It didn't have like any sort of like indicator on it. And it didn't come with any like little piece of paper. It like nothing. It's just like, I still have it just because it's funny, though.
Well, I'll tell you what. So I have a friend whose kid loves Oreos. I gave it to them, and they use it all the time now to dunk their Oreos, which I thought was cool because at least it's being used.
I haven't even tried it. I've had it for probably 4 years or 3 years or something. I've not actually tried it.
So funny. And it didn't have anything to do with what the company does either. Not that your swag has to, because straws.
No, I think, I think it was a play on words, because I remember the company name. But
okay.
Yeah, that one, I tell people about that one all the time, though, because it's just so funny to me. It is. Because it's, you know, you start with like word camp and like, what is this here for? Like, we're trying to connect people, inspire people, and promote like contributing back to the community. And like, to get so far away from like what the heck we're even here doing, it's just,
right,
like, it's super funny to me to see. And it's like by no fault of really anyone, it's just it's just funny to think that like just hundreds and hundreds of people have this like Oreo thing now because we're trying to democratize publishing.
That's a really good point, actually. I love it. Well, I'll tell you what. So a couple years ago, I don't think it was last year, a year before. Yeah, it was 2 years ago, where Camp US, Yoast was giving away tulip bulbs. Only it was in December, and it was in North America. And so I brought them back to Rochester, and we stuck them in the closet because we couldn't plant them yet. The ground was like...
Yeah.
By the time we pulled them out, like in April, to plant them, they were moldy. And I was like, oh, I really wanted to use them, but moldy bulbs aren't going to grow. So we actually had to toss them. But
yeah, anyway. Timing is super important.
It really is.
You know, we're in Northeast Ohio, obviously. And I know 1 year we did umbrellas because it just made sense. And I think it actually did rain that weekend. So it's like perfect. Or, you know, Detroit, they did scarves, and that was just really, like, smart. It was, I think it was in maybe October or something. I don't remember when. March. I think theirs is in March, typically. So, like, that was really cool. And the scarf, yeah, that was a really, really good one because there's only, like, you don't have to pick sizes because with getting shirts for swag, like,
I hate t-shirt swag.
Map out like all the sizes that you're gonna need and how many of each, and then inevitably like someone
exactly
in the end. So the scarf was a really cool idea, and I think some people have done beach towels too, which is cool.
I love that kind of thing. When it's actually useful. When things are actually useful, it makes sense. Yeah. Well, a beach towel you could still use after the shower because they're bigger and they're fun to kind of.
Yeah.
That works. Anyway, I'm going to move into our rapid fire questions. I do have another interview after you, and I want to try to stay on track. So I could talk swag all day because I just I find it fascinating, but I want to also hear your answers to the other questions. So what are two or three must-have plugins you would recommend to somebody building their own website?
Okay. Type or names or both or either?
Either or.
Okay. So a security plugin. I'm sure you could guess that. and an SEO plugin probably.
SEO is definitely important.
If you're only gonna put two on, that would probably be the two.
Absolutely, that makes perfect sense. I lost my questions. I should have them memorized because I do this show so much, but I never get them in the right order because there's so many of them. Anyway, did you have a mentor at any point in your WordPress journey or your work journey, whether it was official or unofficial, and who was it?
Yes, a couple. So as I was just starting to get involved in the community, Rich Rabinkoff was one of my mentors, and Steve Grenwell was one of my mentors.
They're both awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. Tell. What do you think is the importance of having a mentor?
I think just having someone to like call you on your BS if you're like being too hard on yourself, I think that's like really important, which a friend can do, but it's easy to like discount what a friend or a family member is saying to just be like, oh, they just think I can do anything. But when you actually like have someone who knows you in a more professional setting, they can make a little more just comparisons, and it holds a little more weight.
Yeah, I love doing coaching and mentoring for people because it helps them stay on track, the accountability factor is huge there, I think, too. Plus, you know you have somebody that you can ask questions of in a non-judgmental way, and you don't have to be afraid. So, yeah. So I always recommend everybody to
ask plenty of dumb questions to them.
You know, but the dumb questions are the ones we learn from the most. So they're not really dumb because they help us move forward and grow. They just feel dumb when we ask them.
And it is, like, it is a relief if you're, like, racking your brain over something, and you finally, like, open up to someone that you trust and you ask this question and you immediately realize it's dumb. Like, it's a relief because then you both just laugh.
That was
what happened. Like, there was like a technical question with some JavaScript that I was like asking Steve about once, and I just remember I was feeling like so embarrassed, but then by the time I finally like asked him and I saw it immediately what I was doing wrong, it was just like funny, like from that point forward, and I could move on.
I was trying to enter a new a bug that I found in one of our new add-ons before it's released out, and so I was putting it in our feedback form, a brand new feedback form, first time that I've used it, and I kept trying to search for it to see if anybody had done it before, but I was actually trying to use the use the submit form as the search, and I kept getting these errors, but I was so distracted by everything that else was going on. I pinged somebody else in our group, and I was like, I can't do it. I don't know if it's because we've run out of, it says my trial's up or whatever. And he's like, I can look in a minute. I go back and I look, and I was like, oh my God, I'm such an idiot. And I figured it out. I'm like, never mind, figured it out. So yeah. But it's always good that I'm like, you know, you can, and it is okay to laugh at me when I'm like, duh, but you know, it's in a nice way. Laugh with me, not at me.
Right? Yeah.
Who is somebody that you admire in the WordPress community and why?
So this one is someone I don't think I've ever even spoken to, but I did think about this one in advance, and it's Christine Chirinos.
Chirinos,
yeah. That's how you say her last name. Yep. So I just follow her on Twitter, so it feels a little creepy to say I'm like inspired by her, but I just like that she brings her full self into everything she does, and I've kind of tried to take a page out of her book on that, because I just really respect that about her.
Mm-hmm. Me too. I did her episode of Coffee Talk dropped last month, and I think I put right in there that I want to be her when I grow up, even though she's young enough to be my daughter. Yeah, she is absolutely inspirational.
That one was really, really good.
Yeah, she's phenomenal, absolutely. What's something that you still want to learn in WordPress, but that you haven't tackled yet?
So, I mean, I'm in a unique position because I'm a manager, so I unfortunately lack the time to get really deep into some of the stuff that I would like to, and one of them is WP CLI. I know all the things I can do with it. I just don't have practical reason to, like, be like, deeply into it like that, so, but that's definitely something I would like to learn more about.
That's awesome. And there are a million WordPress TV talks about it too, but who has time to listen to them? That's the hard part.
I mean, I've like watched all of them, but it's just when I get into work, if I'm not using it, or if I don't need to use it, or, you know, if most of my day is like HR related things, there's a practical reason for me to learn it and spend the time. So I would like to really switch that balance a little bit.
Yeah, I think that's a good aspiration for sure. What's the biggest WordPress mistake you've ever made, and what did you learn from it?
Okay, so I would say this one, I sometimes describe this as a mistake, sometimes just describe it as like a project, because it's still, everything's up and running and everything's working, but I launched a large-scale multi-site in 2015, and we finally got it moved to a managed host just 2 weeks ago or something. But I did not spend enough time learning about multi-site before getting into it, and I kind of took for granted, like, at the time, WPMU Dev had, like, a ton of plugins for multi-site, and I think they were kind of anticipating, oh, it was going to blow up, and everyone's going to have a multi-site. And by large scale, I mean at some point, I think we had upwards of like 8,000 active sites.
Wow. That's big. Yeah.
And I didn't really have it on like a scalable server or anything. I just had it on like a crappy host and didn't, I had it all like running off one database. And so it has like major performance issues. We didn't have a staging site for it, because it was just like too big and you can't even we couldn't even, get the resources to like set up a staging site for like years. This thing was just like, somehow like the users were still okay with it and enjoying it. And I always just felt kind of like guilty. So I had like 5 years of feeling guilty about this, like really like hacky to me site that people are like just fine with. Like no one really knew anything was super wrong with it, but I knew everything was super wrong about it. Cause I'm like, oh, it takes 4 seconds to load the admin. This isn't good.
But you said yourself that technology in travel has always been a little bit behind, so they're just used to it.
Yeah. So, and in a way, it's like bleeding edge. I don't know. I didn't know anyone who had multi-site at that scale.
I
remember, like, it was like when I was first getting involved in the community was when I was like starting to tell people, like, I have a really big multi-site. And I think at the time it was only, it was like 4,000 or 3,900 or something like that. And, you know, no one really expected that. So they would kind of just look at you like, why or how?
What are you even doing? Yeah. That's funny. Well, let me flip the question. And what's your proudest WordPress moment?
I would say probably the last time I led, well, I don't know. That one's tough. I guess I just don't think about them as much. You can tell what I'm dwelling on. I am like really, really proud of how WordCamp Kent was online this year. Mm-hmm. Just because we got really good feedback. And I think timing wise, like people were like actively seeking out things to be doing online, like around mm-hmm. the time that we happened to be having WordCamp Kent. So I think like that's probably my proudest moment is just like having a successful online event and kind of like taking the good pieces from the ones that were like leading up. And that was really rewarding.
One of my proudest moments was also WordCamp Kent in that I was asked to be part of a panel with Andrea Middleton and Joe Simpson. And I sat there thinking, I'm not worthy to be on a panel with those two big, huge people. And it was just so phenomenal. And it was I floated that whole week. It was so awesome.
Yeah, that was really, really fun too. I should have mentioned that as one of my favorite WordCamp experiences, because that was it was especially unique just because of the situation and the trying to coordinate everything and inviting you guys a little bit like last minute.
It was so really cool. Together,
like having our little call in advance and doing the Blaze stuff, like it's just a lot goes into it that mm-hmm. I think that like the average person would not see. So that was a really fun time. I enjoyed myself.
Me too, for sure. If you weren't working in technology, what's another career that you might like to attempt?
Well, this one's a little tough. I could tell you like industries that I'd be interested in.
Sure.
That aren't. So, or what I expect to do post-tech, a lot of women do plan post-tech careers, which was interesting. I was discovering that on Twitter. But what I'm really interested in is more on the nonprofit side. Like that's mm-hmm. a sector I'm more interested in. I'm not a huge fan of capitalism. And I really would like to be able to give back more. It's just, you know, we kind of need jobs to like feed ourselves.
True.
But what I would love to do post-tech is have a guinea pig sanctuary.
Oh, cool. I didn't even know that was the thing. Is it a thing?
If you Google for it, you'll see some videos of, you know, people just have these like big fields and they build like runs and stuff just like you would for like rabbits if you had rabbits outside. Uh-huh. Yeah. Just, I would love to run a rescue for rodents specifically. And just have guinea pigs and rats and mice and maybe a big capybara or something. I really like rodents. Like all animals.
No. Is a quokka, is that how you say it? Quokka, quokka, oh. How do you say it? Are they part of the rodent family too?
Because it's a smile. Rodent. Yeah. I think so. Yeah.
That would be capybara, fun.
Really, really big guinea pigs.
Like I know. They're huge. They're so, and they just look so gentle.
So cute.
Yeah, they are. They really are. They just live peacefully with everybody else, which I love. What's something on your bucket list besides having a guinea pig sanctuary?
Oh, yeah, there you go. This one's tough because of the state of travel right now, too.
Yeah.
Because I would love to visit the Yukon Territory. That's my bucket list travel item is like Alaskan cruise, but they're like, they're super expensive, but Alaskan cruise, I mean, I work in travel, so hopefully, like, I can find a discount, but, like, an Alaskan cruise, and then, like a rail, like, a train ride through the Yukon Territory is, like, that is probably, like, my dream bucket list, like, vacation, or, like, experience, because I just think that would be incredible to see just, like, such a stark difference too, like, yeah. to be going from the icy waters to like just like dense forest and lots of wildlife. I think that would be really cool.
It does sound fascinating. Absolutely. Show us or tell us about one of your hidden talents that the WordPress community might not know about.
Okay. I wish I could show. I am a competitive swimmer. And I think not a lot of people know that.
I didn't know that.
Actually, Amanda Bailey, you know, she was organizer for Kent too. She and I swim together, and we do annually an open water swim, which is at Lake Erie, which a lot of people find really gross, but I don't care. but we do a mile race every year. So we're a little sad this year because it obviously got canceled.
Right.
But yeah, I typically would swim. I mean, lately it had been like maybe once a month. So I'm like kicking myself because now I don't want to be at the pool with the potential of COVID just hanging in the air. Mm-hmm. And they put a lot of restrictions on the pools too, because they are reopened, but
yeah,
I just want to do that. Like, so, no.
You can't swim in a mask. You can't swim in a mask. Yeah. That's dangerous.
Yeah. It's like some of the restrictions are like, well, you should have had that before, like limiting one swimmer per lane. It's like, well, you should have had that before. But
yeah, for
that's
sure.
Just because pairing a lane is always difficult, especially if there's like, you know, kids that just like start jumping in and like swimming across the lanes. But yeah, I've been swimming since I was like 5 on teams. So I've been like 96 or so is like when I started swimming, and been pretty active in it like ever since I was a kid.
Nice. Well, see, I didn't know that, so that's pretty cool. Really cool. Last question: how do we find you online and social media? So the websites, the social handles, whatever.
So I finally reached the point where I'm at the same place as everyone else with my site, where I haven't updated it in like over a year or
there's
six
a lot
months
of that.
Or something.
That's okay.
Yeah, I finally reached that point, but I did change the colors this year, so that was a big deal. Just like changing the background color and stuff. I was like, ooh, I did something with my site.
Painted it. I painted my website.
Color. So yeah, my site, basically everywhere I should be Megabyte Rose. So my site is megabyterose.com, and my Twitter is where I'm most active, but lately you won't see a lot of tech there just because of the state of the world right now. And I'm trying to bring my whole self to my social media now. So yeah, It's a mixed bag if you go to Twitter. Like, you don't know, I don't know what you'll get on any given day.
I love following you on Twitter. I love how open you are, and our interactions are always fun too. And anybody listening, all you have to do is go to wpcoffeetalk.com, look up Megan's episode, and you'll have all the links that we talked about today for sure. Is there anything else you'd like to share with us today before we sign off?
I don't think I really have anything except
okay, great.
Hopefully everyone that's watching is thinking of ways that they can contribute to WordPress, whether it's in one of the like various teams, because there's more teams than just core. And I think people forget that and they don't realize that community is one of the teams. So I just hope anyone watching is thinking about ways they can help.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for being here today. I look forward to when I can see you again in person, of course. But it's always nice to talk to you. So thanks for being part of WP Coffee Talk today.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And we'll see everybody on the next episode. Until then, stay safe.